wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does. It will even up the score, don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone. And the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel's gonna roll around once more when it does.
And that old wheel's rolling around again. New Year's Eve, December 31st. It's time for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We got our cups poured here, got our Bibles out. Hope you'll pour your cup. Join us for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We'll be right back.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel's
gonna roll around once more when it does. It will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does. That will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And can you believe it that old wheel has rolled around again? And it's made a big roll this time because it has rolled around a whole year. Good morning. It is December 31st, 2011, the last day of calendar year 2011. We understand the solar year rolls on for another couple months, but for all intrinsic purposes, today's the day. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. It's a cold, blustery morning. Whew, we've had the wind this week. And we've got our... Oh, somebody wrote in, an Acres of Diamonds man wrote in, said they liked having the Canadian Cowboy on here. So we've got Brent on this morning. Good morning, Brent. Oh, I don't have you there. You got to unmute your button. Third one over.
Okay.
Try it again.
Good morning.
All right.
Yeah.
Good morning. And, all the other Wranglers are kind of spread out here and there. Kyle's fighting a sore throat, and I know Jason's kind of been fighting that toothache this week, so we'll sure keep them in our prayers. And let's start this out with just that, a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for this morning. We thank you for the wind outside, the good weather in its season. Lord, we thank you for the ability to come here and sit before the Radio Ranch microphone and talk with men all across the country, and all those that tune in, Lord. We ask that you would guide and direct us, lead us down the path you want us to be on. Lord, let our every thought, word, action, and deed be pleasing to you. We ask as part of the full armor of God that you do create in us a clean heart and a steadfast spirit. Help us to take every lofty thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ, and let all that we do be to your glory. Help us to encourage your people out there, Lord. Lord, we know that we will be encouraged as a result of doing so. Father, we lift up Kyle and Jason to you. We ask for your health and healing for them, Lord. Heal Kyle's sore throat, that croakiness that he tried to talk to me on the phone this morning, Lord. Let it just be gone. And Father, the same for Jason's tooth. Lord, we just pray for your healing to be upon it, Lord. Lord, I know he's got a cough running through his house with the little ones. We've prayed before. We stand on that, and we just amplify it and lift it up to you again, Lord, for your health and healing to be upon his little ones. Let that cough and croup, whatever it is, Lord, let it just be gone when they all get up this morning. And let your healing be upon his household. Lord, we do give you thanks that you allow us to serve the living God, the one that, as the song says, has no skeletons in his closet. And we thank you for it, Lord. We ask for your blessings on this broadcast this day. And Lord, as this 2011 calendar year wraps up, we just have to say thank you, Lord. We believe your word, the truth of your word, where it says that you work all things for good for those that love you. So Lord, let us just continue to love you, and we know that no matter what, that you work it out for good. We just know that your plan is best. Help us to see that and to live that and to teach others to do the same. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Boy, you can hear that wind in the background out here. It is certainly blowing out here. We've had some 60 and 70 mile an hour gusts this week, and I think we've got them this morning. And the nice thing is it's only about 34 degrees outside, so it's not super cold, but yeah. The wind chill takes it down to about zero.
Makes it nice.
It does.
When I parked here this morning, and I knew it was windy because I drove in it, and when I opened my door, wow, it just took off. I thought it was going to just come right off the side of the van.
Yeah, there's a couple guys in town that do that work on doors, hinge pins and that type of stuff, and they do a good business about 6 months out of the year, that's for sure. So, anyway. Well, it's Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, December 31st, and, you know, we just thought we'd, being that it's kind of the year end, our last coffee of the year, we just opened the phones up this morning, so if you have any comments, we'll sure try to get them on. The phone number, if you do want to call in, 307-745-5913, and we'll do what we can to get you on the air and see what kind of comments you might have. We've been trying to encourage everyone to read the Proverbs. If you're not reading the Bible daily, we're going to continue to try to stimulate you to good works and good deeds. And part of that good work and good deed is to communicate with God every day. And one way to do that is to read his word. So if you would, you know, just Proverbs are a great place to start. Starts out the new year tomorrow, the new calendar year. There's 31 Proverbs, and half the months have 31 days, so you can at least get through Proverbs in a month. And it's understood you can't get to every proverb every day, but there is, just as Proverbs are a comparison, then if you'll read it, you will see how the Word of God compares with the way of man. And there's a famous quote, I don't have it right here in front of me who did it, but you've heard us quote it before, that you cannot enslave, might have been Horace Greeley comes to mind, that you cannot enslave a Bible-reading people. And so, and that's a very true quote, but the exact opposite is true also. You can enslave a non-Bible-reading people. So, really the choice is yours. Do you want to continue to be a slave to sin? A slave to the powers that be, the powers of this world, the kingdom of darkness? If you do, well, then don't worry about it. Just pick that Budweiser up today and just watch the news every evening and don't worry about it. And don't worry about it at all, because you'll continue to just be a slave to sin and a slave to the ungodly. Yeah. But if you want to change, if you want to change that heavy yoke for the light yoke of Christ, the way the Word puts it, then one of the first steps is you have to read your Bible. And that's what we're trying to encourage you, is to read. If you open up to Proverbs 31, today's the 31st, and people say, Proverbs 31, that's the Proverbs 31 woman. And that is what it describes there. That is. But there's a few other things that say in there that it says. And so this is, you know, King Lemuel, the oracle, which his mother taught him. And that was that motherly, godly wisdom. She says, is it not for kings, down in 31:4, it is not for kings to drink wine or for rulers to desire strong drink, for they will drink and forget what is decreed and pervert the rights of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to him who is perishing, and wine to him whose life is bitter. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his trouble no more. And I'll put that right out there because I guarantee you tonight, there will be more wine drank tonight.
Wow.
There will be more strong drink drank tonight. Our enemies understand this word, don't they, Brent?
Oh, boy.
They do. And they put it out to where, you know, look, just turn your country western station on. Oh, you put a drink in my hand.
Yeah.
I'm just a bum, you know. That's the songs out there today. You know, I ain't good at nothing but drinking beer.
Yeah.
It's pathetic.
Well, it's part of the social engineering.
It is, but it's right here. They will drink and forget what is decreed. Give strong drink to him who is perishing, because the enemy knows that the more strong drink they can get in you, the more you will perish. And wine to him whose life is bitter, let him drink and forget his poverty.
Yeah.
And that's right where we're at, people, as a nation. As a nation and as individuals, we are poor. We are broke. We are impoverished.
Yeah. Well, Balaam, remember, he said, how to bring the people down. He says, just get them to sin.
Just get them to sin.
Get them to sin.
And they've done quite a good job at it. Because it doesn't take much to get us to sin.
No, unfortunately.
It doesn't take much. It really doesn't. You know, but, of course, it was like that as soon as they were out of Egypt, you know, several thousand years ago. Here they've come out. They've seen all their people get healed.
Yeah.
Because when they left Egypt, there was not a lame one among them. You remember that from the Word? And so here they've done that. They've seen all the firstborn of Egypt killed.
Yeah.
They've gotten to the Red Sea. They've cried out. The Red Sea has parted. They have walked through towers of water on both sides.
Yeah.
And they walked through on dry land, about a million of them, I think, if my memory serves me right. And then when they got through, they saw the armies of Egypt coming after them. And they saw the water swallow them up. And then it wasn't very long after that, they're turning to Aaron. Moses is gone. He's in the mountain. We need a God.
Yeah.
Here, take our gold. Make us a golden calf. Doesn't take much. It doesn't take much. But thank God above, he's got his remnant. He's always had his remnant. He had his remnant there.
Yeah.
And they had to walk for 40 years also till they made it into the promised land. And since then, even before then, but since then, he has always had his remnant. He's always had his remnant that by the grace of God we're given truth. By the grace of God we're given eyes to see it and ears to understand it. By the grace of God, he gave his prophets of old and his prophets of new, to explain the word, to put the word out to the people so that they too would understand it and they would turn from their sinning ways and look to him. And that's where we're at today.
Yeah.
We still have the remnant. We still do, as Pastor Peters did for the last 33 years. We still put the word, the gospel message, out to the remnant.
There it is.
Yeah, what else can we do?
No.
What else can we do?
You know, you're mentioning about Bible reading and believing people cannot be enslaved, and I thought of that this morning because I had a couple articles I was just going to mention, but I thought, you know, it's interesting. We hear the news, we read articles. Now, how many people in this whole world, in North America or wherever, the whole world, you're reading news articles. Now, many don't have the Holy Spirit. Many have the Holy Spirit, and they're not stirring the Holy Spirit. Now, you read those articles, and man, they can demoralize a people. Just some of the garbage that's out there. So I was going to just mention a couple quickly, but I'm just going to do it a little different. I want to read Scripture first, because, you know, this is our sword. And when we're, you know, we can pray in the morning for the armor, of course, and you know, the Lord's Prayer and what have you. But I think we need to really be praying before we even read articles and what have you. First, I'm just going to say here, read John 6, verse 40. And this is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he says, "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone beholds the Son and believes in him, and that believes in him will have eternal life." And then he says, "And I," that's Jesus Christ, "myself," him again, "will raise him up on the last day." Jesus Christ will raise us up on the last day. And, you know, they're maligning his name and who he is and what have you. Now, I just want to I say before I read this article, I'd like to read another one here in Timothy, 1 Timothy 1:10. And it says about the law. The law is for not made for a righteous person, but for those who are lawless and rebellious, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers, and immoral men, and homosexuals. That's my New American Standard. And kidnappers, and liars, and perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound teaching. That's why they want to say the law is done away with, because they don't want to know what sin is. And then 1 Corinthians 6:9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals. New American Standard. Now, a couple articles I was just going to brief on. There was in Chicago, they're saying they want to put up on the highway, you know how we have here, people die on the highway, for cows. Cows that have got hit on the highway, and they want to put memorial up. I mean, how crazy can we be?
Well, that's Chicago for you, huh?
Yeah. And then I saw an article, or on TV, pardon me, Sarah McLachlan, who's Canadian, for PETA. And they're showing these nice little puppy dogs, and, you know, let's save these puppies. And I'm thinking, yeah, well, how about all the abortions? Probably a million a year in the U.S., and Canada's about 10% of that. And then the other article, and I said I don't want to get into it, it's just so sickening, but church nativity scene with gay figures vandalized. And they're
praise
saying,
the Lord.
Yeah, yeah. Praise and the they had a nativity scene, and they've got couples, and then they had lesbian gay couples. So somebody came in, knocked them down. Hallelujah. And the police chief here and the people of the church, they want it. Their police chief is saying it's a hate crime. So it is.
It absolutely is.
Totally. And if you read those scriptures I read there, it's a hatred to Jesus Christ. And they better be careful, because he himself, he says, I myself will raise us up.
That's right.
So we're going to reject him. And but how do we get to that point? We know it's sin. And like you said, the more we're
people don't read their Bible.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
You know, when you mentioned that, I was looking for something else, and I just had turned. I was on that same page when you read 1 Corinthians 9. And if you read on there, and this is, we'll start back with 9. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? So we put that right out there. So if you're listening to us this morning, this last day of 2011, and if you're one of the unrighteous, you will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Exactly.
Another way of that is you will not go to heaven.
Yeah.
Can you understand that? The unrighteous will not go to heaven. The unrighteous will not have eternal life with Jesus Christ. He will not raise up the unrighteous. That is what the Word says. It's 1 Corinthians 6:9. It goes on, do not be deceived. That's a commandment of God. Read your Word. If you're not reading your Word, you are deceived. It's as simple as that. You may see things and think you got it right, but you know, it says every man thinks that what he does is right. In it says in Proverbs, again, if you're reading Proverbs, you pick up those little gems. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. So you need to mark that. And you know, if you got that type of stuff in your life, well, you know, tomorrow's a new year. And so you're not guaranteed tomorrow. So you might want to repent and change today.
Yeah.
Because today may be your last day. Today may be the day the kingdom comes, either way for you, whether you get to inherit it or not. But if you read on here, such were some of you, it says. And you know what? Such were some of us. We were that way before becoming a Christian. The Apostle Paul, all through, that is why he could put such powerful Holy Spirit words out, and why he went to the Gentiles, and why he went to and spent, you know, the latter part of his life in doing that, because he too fit right in there.
Yeah.
And he knew that he would not inherit the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
When he got his Damascus Road experience and conversion, he knew. He didn't fit all those categories, but he's fit some of them. But if you keep reading on, right after that, such were some of you. And then it says, but you because this is Paul's letter to the church at Corinth.
Corinth, yeah.
But you were washed. And if you reference that, guess what that means? I'll give you three. I'm not even going to give you three guesses, Brett. What do you think that means?
Well, this might mean baptism.
It means baptized. If you look in your reference, it does. It references right back. See, I thought I had it marked. But it references back to Acts and into Ephesians, and that's what it means. You were baptized. You were sanctified. You were justified. Now, you hear a bunch of that. Oh, we got to be sanctified. You got to be justified in the Lord. And all. Well, and I mock those ungodly, you know, God preachers.
Yeah.
Just the way our pastor mocked them.
Yeah.
Just the way that Jesus Christ mocked them. But the word is true. Such were some of you. And so all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But you understand the word. You believe. You repent. And even here, you are baptized. He says you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
The one who calls us, he's going to be calling us from those graves.
And he's going to be, and it's his name.
Yeah.
You know? And you know, if you don't worship the God Jesus Christ, if you think his name is some Yahoo-wee woo-wee fooey thing, you are, as we just read back here in 1 Corinthians 6:9, it says, do not be deceived. And if you think that you can call him by that, you know, it'd be like me calling Brent, hey, Joe, come here. Joe, what do you think of that? Joe, and Brent's looking around going, who is Joe?
Who's Joe?
And that's really how it is.
Yeah.
It's really how it is. And so,
you
anyway,
know,
good scripture this morning. And let me give the phone number out again, 307-745-5913. Me and Brent's been visiting down from Canada on a little vacation and been spending a little time with us here. And he and I could just, we could talk all morning.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll open the phone lines up if you do want to call in, share some comments or something. 307-745-5913.
You know, Richard, when you mentioned the baptism, I made a note this morning. I thought, in my mind, I think of people I know, and there's many out there who've not been baptized. And I've heard you say many times, they've been on the ministry, and they haven't been baptized. And I know some people like that, and you know, you talk to them, and they know some truth, and the Spirit's with them. It's working with them, and I think maybe in their minds they're thinking, well, I've got the Holy Spirit because I can understand some truth, I can understand scriptures, and you know, that's the mindset. Well, you know what? It's a command to be baptized, and as Richard read in that scripture in Corinthians about being washed, and you know, we know Acts 2:38, Luke 16:16. You know, part of that baptism, it's a fresh start. If you've never had that fresh start, where God just cleans the slate and you start anew, that's being born again. Yeah, there's the term they slander again. Yeah, we must be born again. Indeed, we must be born again. But that is, if you look in the King James, the references are right there under that scripture, Acts 2:38 and Luke 16:16. But there's another scripture just to those that maybe think, well, you know, are you saying that I'm not converted? You know, I know some truth, and I've been following, you know, God, and are you saying that I've got to start all over? Well, you know, it's a command, first of all, so it doesn't really matter. But if you look at John 14, verse 17, and, okay, Jesus, well, I'll go to 16. Jesus says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. The Holy Spirit is abiding with you if you haven't been baptized you have some spiritual truth and understanding. Holy Spirit is abiding with you, but you know what? It's only through baptism the Holy Spirit will be in you. And that door is going to close, Richard, like you're just saying. It's the end of the year, it's a Roman year, sure, but the fact is, maybe it is really time to take a look at that.
Yes.
Because it's not a game. We were talking about this. It's just not a game.
Not.
And these guys, these false preachers and that, they've demoralized people, watered it down. These articles, like I say, in the paper. We've got to stand strong.
Again, Brent, give that scripture verse again.
John 14, verse 17. 16 and 17.
14.
But 17 is the key.
14, 16, and 17.
Yeah.
Mark that. That's talking about the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
Another helper.
And he's with you and will be in you. How does the Holy Spirit come in you? How does Jesus Christ dwell in you? Yes, Jesus Christ will live in us. Okay, there's another one they throw out and mess up. Jesus Christ will live in us with the Holy Spirit living in us. How does the Holy Spirit come into us? Baptism.
Yep.
And that's the Bible.
That's where you get to get to the Holy Spirit.
Oh, there it is. That,
exactly, right there.
And you know, we got to take that seriously. You know?
We do. We do. So, you know, that's been our role here. The pastor spent the first part of his ministry, the majority of it, in trying to get the truth of who his people are and who his people aren't. And that's what the prophets of old did. You know, the prophets of old, when they were brought up, because the people were so sinful, the first thing they had to do was tell the people, remind the people who they were.
Yeah.
And remind them who God was. And remind them of what the Word said. And turn them to repentance. And the phone lines are ringing. We'll go there. Good morning. You're on Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hi, Richard. This is Cal.
Good morning, Cal. How are you?
Very well. I was listening to you fellas there, and I kept going back to Psalm 119, where Bill Gothard had made alluded to the time when he was going through high school and he was only getting C's. And a very wise man told him, why don't you read from Psalm 119, verse 97 through 105, and see if your world doesn't change. Make sure you read it every day. Oh, how I love
it. I'm going to mark it. Psalm 119. And what was it?
Verse 97. Through 105.
Yep.
Which is, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
Yeah.
I have sworn and I will confirm it that I will keep your righteous ordinances.
Amen.
And King David, the greatest king that probably ever has been, obviously he's honored by the Lord for his heart, was with him. What a great, great passage that is.
Amen. And that starts out, oh, how I love your law. Mm-hmm. It is my meditation all the day.
And your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine.
But see, our enemies know that, Cal, don't they?
Yeah.
They know that. And if they can keep this away from the people, then they're not.
I have more insight than all my teachers. Well, come on, what a testimony. For your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged.
Amen.
Because I have observed your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep your word. I have not turned aside from your ordinances. And for you yourself have taught me how sweet your words are to my taste. They're sweeter than honey to my mouth.
Amen.
For your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. What a great passage, huh?
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Well, brother, I ask that you would pray, maybe with Brett. I have been under some terrible, terrible, somebody's praying imprecatory prayers against me. I think it's one of my family members, a Canaanite. And there is oppression for this past week, and it is hard to deal with. And so I'm crying out for help, and that you would hold me up in your prayers. I would appreciate it.
We'll sure do it, Cal. You know, you finished up in 106, but, you know, 107 says, and we can share in with what David wrote, and also with what, because it was a foreshadowing of Christ, and it says, I am exceedingly afflicted. And we have to understand that, and I know that you do, Cal, but just to share it with the people out there, that there's times that this happens, that you're spoken ill of, you're lied about, you're brought low, you can sense, because you have been baptized, as Brent said, and you do have the gift of the Holy Spirit, that there are those that do come against us. The darkness hates the light.
Yeah. Amen.
So, you know, but it is a comfort when we can see that and understand.
If you recall that, I think it was the brother that was such a wise man, his life verse was, therefore there is no condemnation those, for all things work together for the good to those who are called according to his purpose. In other words, there is a reason for this, but I don't see it yet.
Yes.
Do you understand?
We do. Well, Heavenly Father, we do pray for Brother Cal out there on the East Coast, Lord. Strengthen him. Lord, let your word be a buckler and a shield about him. We know that it is, Lord. He looks to you. He trusts you. Lord, we thank you for him sharing this psalm with us. We know that you are speaking to him and speaking to us through him. And so, Lord, we do the same. We lift him up to you and ask that your protection would be upon him. Strengthen him, Lord. Let these accusations, these false accusations and slander and whatever it may be, O Father, that are whispered about and that are not true, Lord, how dare they anybody come against a man of God, Father. And we know that Cal is. And so we pray again for your protection to be upon him. Lord, let the fiery darts that are sent, let them just fall to the wayside. Lord, the arrows that fly toward him, Lord, we see them missing their mark. The pit that's dug for him, Lord, we see those that did the digging are the ones that will fall in it. For Lord, your word says that, and we believe it. And so, Father, we encourage Cal. We ask you to just let an extra dose of your Holy Spirit be down upon him. Let him rejoice that he shares in the things that happened to King David and the things that happened to Jesus Christ. For they spoke ill of them as well and came against them.
I say also, Lord, we do thank you for Cal, and it's his encouragement and his faith is an encouragement to us and to anybody listening. And, you know, we need to stand up, and we stand with Cal right now in Jesus Christ, and we thank you for him and ask for your blessing on Jesus' name.
Amen.
I praise the Lord that he's made it able for me to call on the elders,
Amen.
Those who are carrying the staff that Pastor Peters, the prophet, had brought forth. Such wisdom is beyond any understanding. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Cal. Have a good new year. And the phone lines are ringing. We'll see if we've still got people there. Oh, lost that one. We'll try this one. One more try. Good morning. Thanks for calling in to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Guy. How are you?
Oh, fantastic. And I so appreciate Cal.
Oh, yeah.
I really enjoy hearing him. I wanted to say something about that Proverb 31. Just imagine that being the words spoken to the bride of God, of Jesus Christ, you know, his bride. That be his image of his perfect woman, his bride, Israel. And can you understand what I'm saying?
Well, that's exactly what it is, Guy. It is words to his bride. And it's just words that his bride should read, you know. We should. And his people should see that, you know, it's not only for our wives to apply it to their lives.
No.
But it is for us to apply it to our lives, you know. That, you know, that is what we are to do, you know. We're in 20, it says, she extends her hand to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. Isn't that what the church is to do? You know, it's not that we'll never be able to wipe out the poor or the needy, but we are to stretch out our hand to them. So, yeah, Guy, you're right on track, brother. It's what the bride needs to see, needs to read, and needs to apply to their lives.
Oh, and there's this other thing here. Through years, I don't do too much no more. Work with homeless veterans and stuff. And, there's a lot of times, you know, I always talked about Jesus, you know, and some of the Indian guys that was veterans, you know, American Indians, some of them were bikers and were veterans and stuff, but they used to call me spiritual man because I always talked about Jesus. I always talked about God no matter what. And some of the fellas that I used to know, I'd buy them beer. I'd get them beer, and I'd drink my latte or my coffee out in the rain in the shadows of some alleyway and just be there, and they'd be drinking and stuff, and most of the time they were older than me. And You know, they used to call me Sarge and spiritual man and all that. And when I read that thing in there about, you know, give him strong drink, you know, or wine and stuff, and some of these fellows was, I tell you what, they were really ravaged in the spirit. And there was also one fellow that I, well, two, but one in particular, he was, I met him out in Washington, and he was from New Hampshire, and he got blown up in Vietnam at 17 years old, tripped a booby trap. He was with the 173rd Airborne, and he said he spotted me across the way, you know, 50 feet from this room, in this room, and I walked in the building there, and he said he spotted me, and he felt something, and a lot of these guys, you could not get a coherent sentence or words out of them, and they were very distraught human beings, and God knows why, but Jimbo was this fellow's name, and I remember him grabbing my arms and looking me in the eye with his eyes and just asking me, and I've never forgot it, you know. He said, "You mean Jesus loves me the way I am?" I said, "Yeah, Jimbo, yeah, he does. But look at me, you know." And I said, "Look, man, you ain't as bad as it could be." And a lot, I wasn't talking about his physical injuries or nothing. I was thinking mainly about his, he felt guilty. All these boys I knew felt guilty. Horrible guilt and just bad nightmares and on, but they were glad to see me, and it wasn't because I was bringing them beer or anything. A lot of, quite often they'd give me money, and you know, I'd fetch them beer and show up later, and there it was, there they were, and I'd provide for them in that way, but I wasn't drinking, and I wasn't preaching either. But I remember Jimbo and just looking at me and crying, man. That boy really unloaded on me, and I was just holding his arms there and looking at him, and I said, "Jesus loves you, man." And you know, a lot of times, you know, he's tough. People like that would feel like they're scary, or they were scared or something, and I just, you know, I wasn't frightened of them, not at all. I understood a little bit how they felt. And I just never forgot that, and I, you know, like the farmer planting a seed thing, I heard through the grapevine years later that Jimbo's life turned around quite a bit, and he went back home, his sister took care of him, and that's all I heard. And I just rejoice with, oh, man, I know in my heart that that worked, because he asked me all that day, "Jesus loves me the way I am, Jesus loves me," you know, and... Yeah, Jimbo, he does. And here, have this cheap beer you like. And I believed in my heart, and I still do, that I told him, Jesus wants you to have this beer. He doesn't want you to suffer, you know. And that's just between me and God and these people that I knew.
Sure.
And,
you know, many people would look at that and you know, especially, boy, you're Baptist, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got the... you know, the Protestants, that, you know, they don't recognize the Catholics. And the Jews, they don't recognize Jesus Christ. And the Baptists, they don't recognize each other in the liquor store. You know, because that's really how they are. You know, they sure buy it and get it, and but they'll condemn you to hell. You know, I remember the pastor talking about one of the first times he got to bring a message on a Sunday night. And he goes up there, and he pulls a pack of cigarettes out, taps them on the pulpit, and starts to light one up. And boy, he said it got real cold in there. What are you doing, Pastor Preacher?
I don't want to be preacher. I heard that.
And he said, "Well, you know, why is it okay outside the door if it's not okay here?" You know? And so, you know, the Bible talks about, in all things, moderation. And so these things right here that it says in Proverbs 31, give strong drink to him who is perishing and wine to him whose life is bitter. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his trouble no more. Now, is that a good, positive thing? No, but it's the way it is. It is.
Hey,
and that is, you know, this is something to be able to understand that that's how it is. But also, it's a proverb. It's a, and that word means a comparison. So you compare this to, you know, you use this to be able to teach and train, you know, our sons, our daughters, each other, that, you know, it's there, but it's going to be better. It's going to be better if even if we're in that, if we can turn away from that and once we've gotten through that, turn to Christ. Right above that in Proverbs 30:32 says, if you have been foolish in exalting yourself, or if you have plotted evil, put your hand on your mouth. And you know, it basically means stop. You know? And so there's the wisdom is there. It certainly is. So, well, Guy, we appreciate the call. Appreciate you sharing that with us. And we hope you have a good and blessed new year.
Hey, Richard, there's one thing I wanted to ask you in Proverbs 29. And it talks about usury. And I checked in two different Bibles. And it's the thing about it's the man who does this.
Where are you looking at?
I'm running to it right now. He who turns away, he who increases his wealth by interest and usury, gathers it for him who is gracious to the poor. I just don't know what that means, actually. It's Proverbs 28, verse 8, and this New American Standard. I wanted to say one other thing, Richard.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember over there when I was working with these people, there's all these different church groups would come in there, and one that was called Victory Outreach. I nicknamed them Victory Outhouse, and they'd come in there and they'd stand in front of these derelicts who were watching TV and being quiet, not cutting up or nothing, and then they'd stand there at parade rest. That's their feet shoulder width apart, the hands folded behind their back. And they're back to the TV looking these people in the face while one of their representatives was jaw-jacking. I went up to them and I said, what are you doing? And they said, we're this church and this and that. And I said, look, if you're going to come in here bothering these people trying to represent our King, Jesus Christ, why don't you bring some spare change, hot chili, and tobacco? That's what these guys would be probably getting you'd get their attention a little better. And I became known for that little event right there. And, I know God uses us who are his willing servants in his own special way. Anyway, that's what I have to say. And thank you and have a good new year, fellas.
You too, Guy.
God bless you.
Thank you. Good to hear from Guy. He's all a little different than how the church world would look at a Christian, that's for sure. But I know he loves the Lord and got his heart in the right place. And been baptized, and we thank you, God, for sharing that. And we've still got a few minutes left here. Coffee with the Wranglers, 307-745-5913. And,
Richard, yeah. The other day you and I were talking about, the name, God's name and Jesus' name. John 17, 11, and 12, and I think that's the scriptures you were referring to. And maybe you want to read them there. You got it there?
Yeah, we have been talking about it because there's still those out there, and the pastor got where he wouldn't even argue with them, and I think we're at the same place. The name is Jesus Christ, and so if you turn in your Bibles to John 17 and I just want to back up here and see where I want to start.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, probably maybe 9. I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all things that are mine are yours, and yours are mine. And I have been glorified in them. I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are. Now, did you hear that? Holy Father, this is Jesus speaking. He says, Dad, keep them in your name, the name which you have given me. And I didn't realize this until Pastor Peters preached on it and brought it out. And so, let's talk about that verse for just a minute. What name did God, Dad, the Father, give the Son? you can turn back to Matthew and read what it was, you know, when the angel came to Mary, you know. I believe that's where it is. She will bear a son. An angel of the Lord appeared in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name, in the Greek, it's Iesus. We talked about this Thursday night. If we spoke Spanish, comprende el Spanicio? I don't speak Spanish. But his name, we'd call him Jesus. But guess what they said his name would be? Jesus. So, if you go back to John 17, Jesus says, Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name which you have given me.
That's why they want to stamp it out.
That's why they want to stop it out. Because they do not enter the kingdom, and they do not want you to enter in. Do not be deceived. The Antichrist don't serve the same God that we serve. Those that deny the Son deny the Father. The Father and the Son are one. This is what the Word says, John 17. Anyway.
Verse 12 there.
That's the name.
Verse 12, he even says, while I was with them, I was keeping them in your name, which you have given me.
Your name, which you gave me.
And I was keeping them in it. This is why, and I don't know, that's just something I'm just getting more and more upset about, or passionate about, pardon me. And then we got the false preachers out there saying, Jesus. Well, that's a whole long story. The other Jesus sometime maybe be interesting to get into. There is two Jesus. And we represent the true Jesus Christ and his scriptures. And they use his scriptures and malign them. So that when we say certain scriptures, it may sound, that sounds Protestant-y or that sounds Pentecostal, that whatever.
You're very Calvinistic in your outlook.
Yeah.
Boy, how many times do we hear that? Well, I say, praise the Lord. At least you understand that.
Yeah. You know, in John here, one I find always encouraging the scripture, the same chapter. Where is there? 19.
Yeah, back to John 17. Sorry. I had flipped over to Matthew.
That's okay. And this is that whole, actually, you know, that whole chapter is well worth reading. Jesus is, you know, he's the high priestly prayer, it says here. It's before they killed him. And he's praying to his Father in heaven, our Father in heaven. But I just find this part encouraging. Verse 18, he says, as you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. And at the time, of course, he's talking to the disciples. Mm-hmm. And he says, for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. In verse 20, he says, I do not ask on behalf of these alone. And now he talks about us here. And it's so personal, I find. He says, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those who believe in me through their word. And that's us. You know, they carried on and with that gospel, if the word didn't go out, and same with us, we can't pull back. Paul says we're not of those who draw back, and we have to keep talking. And that name is, it's Jesus Christ, baptism, Acts 2:38, Luke 16:16. We have to keep saying it, stand strong, and because those, he says there, that believe through their word, and there's those that will believe through our word. And it's the same, it's the Word of God, but he uses those he's called.
Amen. Amen. And a second witness, he again, from Christ himself, you look on to verse 25 in John 17. O righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I have known you. And these, again, he's speaking to the disciples, but he's also, I think, referencing just what you said, also those that believe me, not for these on their behalf, but on these that will believe the word later. Yet I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. Now there are those today that deny that God the Father sent the Son. And those are the Antichrist.
Yeah.
Those are the Antichrist. Be them what they call themselves, Jews, be them Allahs, Muslims, Buddhists, atheists, Gnostics. But Christ here acknowledged it.
Yeah. And
you sent me. These have known that you sent me. We know today that God the Father sent him. But look what he says there. I have made your name known to them and will make it known so that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. The name.
There it is.
Your name, Father, I've made known to them. Now, there's nowhere in the Scripture that Jesus spoke that, you know, this other name. We'll go to the phone lines. Good morning. Thanks for joining us for Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, Richard. It's Valerie in Oklahoma.
Good morning, Valerie.
Good morning. Well, we just wanted to call and say Happy New Year, and we always enjoy hearing Cal and Guy, of course. And I was just going to say that Proverbs 28:8 that Guy was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I looked in some other translations, and this one kind of puts it kind of simple. And it just says, if you get rich by charging interest and taking advantage of people, your wealth will go to someone who is kind to the poor.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So that's all.
Thanks, Val. Have a great day. Tell Mark we said hi. All right,
I'll
you too.
I'll do it. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, Richard,
absolutely.
Yes. This is like 2012 coming up, right? We've got a couple minutes yet. So there's a lot of people out there, non-believers, believers are like this hype about 2012. I heard a story that apparently the Mayans, right? You know, the Mayan calendar and all this. That the Mayans years ago, obviously, they in their deception and control of the people, they were pretty smart. They knew the skies and how the stars worked, and they knew there was going to be an eclipse coming. So they took the people and to control them, they said, you know, if you don't do this or that, you know, we're going to make the sun not shine, or whichever was the moon. I don't know that part. It doesn't matter. Just the fact is that, and of course it happened, and it's the way they control them. And this whole Mayan and Mayan calendar, this is control again. And we got people in fear, Christian and non-Christian alike, and it's a tool of the devil is fear. So I just thought for myself, I was thinking, and maybe some others would like to think of this, there's a 2012 in the Bible, mm-hmm. and it's Revelation 20, verse 12.
Woohoo! Let me flip back there before you read it.
Alrighty.
I was up in Proverbs 20:12.
Okay. That's probably, I'll have to read that one too.
Okay.
Okay, he says, and I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books, according to their deeds. And I'll just go down to 15. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. And this is true. It's not a game. And so if you want to be concerned about 2012, I'd be concerned about Revelation 20:12.
Amen.
Believer or non-believer alike. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. And that is truth. That is a command. This is eternal life, and it's Jesus Christ. He's the one. So fear 2012, yes. Revelation 2012. And if you're going to walk in fear this year over any of this 2012 business, it's going to take you from Jesus Christ. And they'll do it any way they can, whether they want to change his name, get us caught up in fear. Our hope is in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And no matter where we are, he will be with us and protect us.
Absolutely. Got a few more minutes. One more call here. Good morning. Thanks for calling in for coffee.
Hello. My name's Richard McLeod, and I've been a long-time listener of Pastor Pete Peters. And I want to say, I think I called in before about Voice of Praise they postponed it another three months for the child support hearing. But I'm still trying to find a job, and I haven't been able to because I have a record now that shouldn't have been. And I really need prayer because I'm being hit not only from the outside, but within my own family, and I have to live with them. I'm with my parents. I'm 50 years old, and I don't know how much more I can take because they're both Baptists and they're stupid as a chicken with her head to cut off.
Well, Richard, I'd suggest that you do stay in the Word. That is so many times how God speaks to us. You know, we may not hear it with an audible voice, but His Word is there. The Word is living and active. If you turn to, we got a quick moment here, to the beginning of Romans. I thought that's where it was. Maybe not. But we do have to stay in the Word. You know, just like we had read in Proverbs earlier about the trials and the temptations and the problems that we have to go through. And so, but what we want to do is we want to continue in with His Word. We don't want to, give the enemy any opportunity. And so, Richard, I would say that. I would say stay in the Word, you know.
Okay.
Concentrate on the positive versus the negative is what the world would say. But, you know, look to the good news of the gospel. You know, pray for your parents. And don't worry about changing them. Just pray to God. You know, give that to Him. The same thing with this, you know, with this job. I've seen young men looking for wives, and I'll try to relate this real quick. That man, they want a wife. They want a wife. They want a family. They want this kind of stuff. God says, seek first the kingdom, and all these other things will come unto you. And when they've done that. And I've seen it. I could give you two. I'm not going to name names, but I just think of two examples right here. That when they've said, Lord, you want me to have a wife? You provide her. And they were married within the year to good, godly women. And so, Richard, I would share that with you and say the same thing. Lord, you know, pray to Him, and we'll do it right now. Lord, Richard wants a job. He wants victory. He wants justice. And so, Lord, we pray that for him. We pray that, Lord, help him to read your word. Help him to obey your word. Let him not see the evil that's about him. Let him not look upon that, but look upon the grace and the mercy that you've given and the truth of your word. And that's what we ask him to look upon, Lord. And we lift him up to you for deliverance, for victory.
Thank you, Jesus.
All to your glory.
And Jesus says, in this world we will have tribulation. Yes. But he says, I have overcome the world. And tribulation comes because you believe in Him, so you've got to look at that positively. But it's your belief in Him and that tremendous hope we have, and be of good cheer. He has overcome this world.
Amen. Thank you, Richard.
Thank you. One good thing, though, of all this, I have one good close friend that I can turn to, and he's been helping me, too. So.
Now, Richard, remember also, I mean, I'm glad that you have that. It's a blessing that we have men here to be able to talk to. But, you know, the Word says that Jesus Christ is a friend that sticks closer than a brother as well. And you have to think about it that way, that the Word is that way as well.
The Word is that way, yes.
Amen.
It is, definitely. Amen.
Read John 15 there. You know, without Him, we can do nothing.
That's right. God bless, Richard. We'll be expecting a praise report pretty soon. Thank you, brother.
All right.
And we're all gone. We're out of time. We're going to go out with some Clint Miller. Listen to the words of this song. This is what we have to do this next year. Thank you for joining us. Hope you join us for church tomorrow at scripturesforamerica.org.
We got to walk, we got to work, we got to walk, we got to win. Jesus Christ has said to me, is coming in. Living in a wicked world made by sin. We gotta walk, we gotta work, we gotta warm, we gotta win. As the days of Noah were, will come the Son of Man. People drinking, marrying, just doing all they can. Then one day the Lord will come, we'll hear that trumpet sound. The lost will look for the Savior, they will not be found. We gotta walk, we gotta work, we gotta warm, we gotta win. Jesus Christ has said that He is coming again. Living in a wicked world made by sin. We gotta walk, we gotta work, we gotta walk, we gotta win. God told Noah, make an ark, how to go for wood. Noah
being warned of God, he did just like he should. God said, Noah, bring them in two by two. Hey, Noah, don't you forget your wife and children, too. We gotta walk, we gotta work, we gotta warn, we